Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The World Cricket Show is proudly supported by Newbury Cricket, quality bat makers since 1919.
In an 1819 poem, what season of the year does Keats describe as a season of mists and mellow fruitfulness? The World Cricket Show?
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
Hello and welcome to the World Cricket Show, the world's favourite cricket show. My name is Adam Bayfield and I squeaked through in a vote of no confidence in order to continue on as your host. And tabling another motion as we speak, it's Tony Kerr.
Morning.
How's it going, Tone?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Morning is right, actually. It's Sunday morning. It's actually quite early on Sunday morning. It's 8:59. Not sure we've ever recorded on a Sunday morning before.
No.
This is quite a different atmosphere, isn't it?
Add it to the Wikipedia page.
It's a sort of Sunday supplement vibe going on in here, except without the tea or croissants, which, actually thinking about it, is how you convinced me to do this. Where are the croissants, Kerr?
Well, yeah, we've got some leftover Thornton Continental chocolates from Christmas. That'll do.
That's absolutely the worst thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely the last thing I want.
You don't fancy a little truffle?
No, thanks.
Don't blame me.
Mm.
No, it's a grey day here in Guernsey.
Grey, grim, cold. I had to commute here as well. Didn't see a single other person on the way down. No, not a pedestrian, not a car. Everyone's in bed, Tone, at this time on a Sunday morning.
It sort of lifts the lid on how you view the podcast, that you commute to it. You should be sort of dancing down the street.
Well, that's normally how I come here. It's like the Electric Light Parade at Disney World, the way I strut down the street to get here. But one of the Bee Gees strutting down here. But not today. No, I'm recording this under duress.
Yeah,
that's how I'll describe it. Also, we're in a slightly different. I was going to say a different studio. That's probably exaggerating it a bit.
Studio two here at my flat.
We're in a different room of your flat. We're in the kitchen. Well, kitchen come dining room come living room. It's one big room.
It's more of an early morning vibe, isn't it, in here? So it should do the job.
Well, it just really increases the scrutiny on why there aren't croissants.
Well, I've got some nice...
We're in the right room for it.
It's nice Burford brown eggs and sourdough to have when you've gone.
Nice. Well, anyway, we've been liberated from your large walk-in closet where we've been recording up till now. Thought we'd record in the kitchen, come living room, come dining room. And we've got a lot of cricket to talk about in here. We are here, Tony, to talk about England's test series in the Caribbean, which is right up in our grill piece now. First test kicks off in Barbados on Wednesday, 23rd of January, with two more tests to follow in Antigua and St. Lucia. So England coming into the tour off the back of a very impressive 3-0 whitewash, as I'm sure you remember, in Sri Lanka. West Indies with somewhat less impressive recent form, and obviously we're going to get into both teams in some depth. But on the face of it, at least, I imagine most people have got England down as favourites, perhaps big favourites. But it is worth noting, Tane, that England don't actually have a very good record in the Caribbean. It's 14 years since they last won there, and that was their first win since the 60s. And then since that win in 2004, they lost in 2009 and drew in 2015. And actually, they've only won one of their last nine tests in the Caribbean. So, I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean anything, does it? Because, you know, it's not like those previous results sort of directly affect what's going to happen. There aren't even that many players left from the team in 2015, let alone 2009. So I can't imagine they're going to be going there thinking like, oh, we lost here last time. It's going to be really hard. But I guess it's just interesting that in both 2009 and 2015, England arrived as they do this time as big favourites, and they left without a victory on either occasion. So I'm going to ask you for a prediction later on, Tone, but
I thought you were going to ask me now.
That'd be a very quick episode. No, I'm going to ask you for a prediction later on. Here's my opening question, and it's a cracker. How excited are you for this series?
Oh, it's a classic. I mean, yes, very excited. Well, broadly speaking, wouldn't be that excited. Might be excited. Yeah, would be quite excited. But yeah, we're actually going to be on the ground, aren't we, for the third test. What's shaping up to be the exciting dead rubber in the series. So yeah, that's piqued my excitement somewhat.
So the answer to the question is, you're excited about your holiday?
Yeah, basically. But no, I mean, no, broadly speaking, yeah, you know, this is the final test or tests before the Ashes for England. So that, you know, it's still, despite the fact we've said, you know, not all cricketers are answering questions going forward, you know, we are still looking for the answers to some questions as England fans. So, you know, that'd be interesting. And, you know, it is as poorly as England have performed or as well beaten as they've been, you know, down the years in the West Indies, it's still a sort of evocative test series, isn't it, for England supporters? It's an exciting one. Yeah.
Yeah. I think for a lot of reasons, actually. Like, I'm well excited about the series and yeah, because it's a very evocative place to tour, but also because we should actually be able to watch quite a lot of it. Like, I mean, if you live in the UK and you work 9 to 5, then this is by far the best tour of all the winter tours as a viewer, and actually arguably the best series of any series, including England's home series in the summer, because, you know, it starts at what, 2 PM or something, so when you get in from work at 5, you can watch 4 or 5 hours still. So for that reason, if nothing else, it's a series I'm excited about. But also, as you say, like, there's just something about a Caribbean tour that gives me a bit of a buzz. You know, like, you know, some of my favourite moments as an England fan have been on tours to the Caribbean. One of my earliest cricketing memories, Tone, is Alex Stewart scoring those twin hundreds in Barbados in 1994. Obviously, the Brian Lara world records, Hoggard's hat-trick in Barbados in 2004.
Sabina Park.
Yeah, well, that's the big one, really, isn't it?
I've beaten you to it.
Yeah, yeah. You've beaten me to the punchline, which is that Harmison 7 for 12, that's probably like top three cricketing moments for me. I know that's a big memory for you as well.
Yeah, big time. I mean, it was one of those developing stories that you imagine there would have been like a little yellow ticker along all other, you know, broadcasts at that time, you know, just like, what's unfolding? Switch over to Sky Sports now. To witness it. Yeah,
they cut away from coverage of the Brexit debate in the House of Commons. That was going on in 2004, wasn't it? Certainly feels like it. Am I right?
Extraordinary. And that was the sort of, yeah, that was the sort of precursor, wasn't it, to the 2005 Ashes. Obviously, it was like sort of then realizing that, you know, we've got some serious weapons here.
Yeah, I mean, it's just an amazing sight, wasn't it? The 8 slips or whatever it was that England had. That's just a very powerful image.
Sunday morning, as I remember. Was it a Sunday morning? Must have been.
Well, it wouldn't.
Well, I was watching it, so
it wouldn't have been a morning in the UK, though, would it? Because as I just explained, it starts in the afternoon UK time.
Yeah, true. What time? What day of the week was it on?
Do you need me to sing the Rebecca Black song again?
No, it must have been in the afternoon our time, then, wasn't it? It was definitely light outside wherever I was.
Right, we're narrowing it down. Maybe there was some way to look it up. Well, maybe, you know, maybe listeners don't want to hear us look it up. Maybe they'd prefer us to just kind of fumble around to see if we can work this thing out over the next 20, 25 minutes.
It must have been sort of mid-afternoon. Mm. 3 o'clock UK, 3 o'clock GMT.
Yeah, I don't even know if it would have been that though, because wasn't it? It was later in the day.
It wasn't dark, it was light. I remember it. Hang on.
It would have been slightly later in the year though, don't forget. It would have been March maybe.
Yeah.
This is fascinating stuff.
This is great stuff, isn't it? Yeah.
Right, here we are. I've looked it up, Tane.
Okay, go on.
So it was March the 14th, 2004, which was a Sunday, and it was the first session, so it would have been at about 2 PM.
This is my morning. Yeah, back then, that was my morning, really, so.
Yeah, you're a student.
Yes, student of cricket.
Just getting in from a night out at Nando's, weren't you, at that time? So anyway, yes, I've got a lot of very fond cricketing memories from Caribbean tours. And for me, Tane, still to some extent, cricket is Caribbean cricket. I mean, I don't know if I've ever quite articulated this properly, but it's like in my mind, that sort of the heartbeat of cricket is in the Caribbean. And that might be partly because, as I say, I think probably my earliest cricketing memory was those Alex Stewart hundreds. It's like where I first kind of learned about cricket was watching England in the Caribbean on that tour. But there's just something, so it's very nostalgic for me, but there's just something about it that it does give me a real sense of excitement, cricket in the Caribbean. And I mean, that's a concept, I guess, the idea that, you know, the heart of cricket in the Caribbean is maybe an idea that's sort of come under pressure in recent decades, as, you know, the West Indies team has got a lot worse and the pitches have got deader and deader. And, you know, and speaking of the pitches, you know, certainly hope that we don't have a series like the one in 2009, which was just five absolute roads. But by all accounts, the pitches are going to be better than that. But anyway, yes, I do still get excited about a Caribbean tour in a way that I don't for almost any other tour. And that I may end up sounding quite foolish or quite naive by the end of the series, when we've had three dull draws or three England walkovers, both of which are very possible. But that's how I feel at the moment, and I hope you'll allow me that, Tone.
I'll give you that, yeah.
So thinking about England then, as I say, it was a very impressive win in Sri Lanka. Pulling off a whitewash away from home is pretty rare for any team anywhere in the world, let alone for England on the subcontinent. I mean, there were caveats, and we talked about them at the time, not least that, you know, Sri Lanka probably aren't the team they were, and England won three tosses. But nonetheless, it was a pretty remarkable result. But they've got one or two selection dilemmas that they need to resolve ahead of this Barbados test. Dilemma, maybe too strong a word, but things they've got to figure out. And the first, I guess, is the balance of the team and the makeup of the team. Like, how do they fit everyone in? So Johnny Bairstow came in and batted at number three in that third test in Sri Lanka, scored 100. He seems undroppable then at number three, but how do you fit him in and retain that balance? So Tone, if you woke up tomorrow morning and you'd body swapped with Ed Smith in some sort of Freaky Friday situation, and that's a movie that's just waiting to be written, I reckon, what would you do?
Let's start at the top, because I think you've got to start at the top and then you sort of shake it down from there, don't you? Mm-hmm. I think you've got to stick with Jennings and Burns. It is tricky, and there's some people saying that, you know, Denley should already be given a chance at the top.
What, in place of Jennings?
Potentially. On the basis that, you know, looking ahead to the summer, I think we're just going to have to sort of, it's a sort of Death Star trench kind of moment with Jennings and Burns going into the Ashes, is just sort of close your eyes and hope. You know, the last time England did that with Stoneman and Milan, it didn't quite pay off, you know, but that's not to say it won't pay off now. Anyway, so that's not the question you asked me, is it? I think you've got to stick with those two at the top. Yeah, I think Bairstow plays. But there are question marks over him at three. You know, he's such an enforcer, a destroyer, you know, down towards kind of five and six. But, you know, it's not to say he can't make a good go of it at three.
Mm.
So I think you've got to give him a go.
Okay, so you think stick with Bairstow, and you think stick with Jennings and Burns as well. I mean, it's what you're saying about Jennings with the Ashes coming up, the fact that, like, he scored 100 in Sri Lanka and actually was quite impressive. I mean, got sort of slightly less impressive as the series went on, but scored some runs. Therefore, you think he deserves to keep his place for sure, except that with the Ashes coming up, he's had all sorts of problems against fast bowlers. Australia obviously have got, at least in theory, some very good fast bowlers. So actually, do you sort of... is it too sentimental to be like, well, he deserves to keep his place because he scored runs against spinners in Sri Lanka? Actually, is the more kind of pragmatic, practical, sensible thing to do, to say, well, yes, we needed you on that tour, thanks very much, but you're not the right guy for the challenges coming up. I think there's a very strong argument for that, but
then where do you go?
Well, that's exactly the thing. If there was someone else who's like, well, he's going to be much better, then maybe yes, but I think Jennings deserves to, you know, he deserves a chance to see if he can prove himself in
those more difficult conditions. Yeah, I think you've got to hope that Jennings can, you know, has been working at those weaknesses. And, you know, there were some of the dismissals last summer were just soul destroying to watch, but, you know, to sort of come back and obviously, yeah, as you say, play well in Sri Lanka. Yeah, you hope he can give it a good go.
Okay, so you're sticking with Jennings, you're sticking with Burns, you're sticking with Bairstow, but then what does that do to the rest of the team? Because how do you keep that balance that served them so well in Sri Lanka, where they had six bowlers, they actually had three spinners? Not that England are going to need three spinners this summer, but even if they want two spinners with another seam bowler coming in, how do you get them all in? Because presumably Root has to play at four, presumably Stokes and Butler are going to be five and six. Does Folks keep his place for you, or are you giving Bairstow back the gloves?
Oh, That's a tough one, isn't it?
Because if Folks plays...
I think Folks has to play, and I think you just...
Then you're left with four bowling spots in that case.
Yeah, and I think you go... I think, yeah, the noise is certainly coming out of the West Indies that there's a sort of juke ball in play and that you know, it's going to favour, or maybe more so than in recent tours, it's going to favour the fast bowlers. So, yeah, I think you only really need one spinner.
And who's that for you?
It's probably Rashid, I think.
Really? Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. He's probably number three on my
list. That's where I put
How come Rashid for you?
He would fit the bill for me. I want him in my team.
I guess he offers something a bit different. He's got that kind of X factor, doesn't he?
You want a bit more control, do you?
Yeah, I think that's the problem. I mean, he bowled reasonably well in Sri Lanka, but he still has those moments where England lose control because he's bowling. And that's all right if he's one of three or two spinners, but as the only spinner, I think it's quite a big risk still.
I wonder how much I'll be made to eat my words, but, you know... I don't know how much control England are going to need in this series.
Yeah, that's potentially true. I guess if we're thinking more generally about putting together a balance of the team going forward, but then, do we take the Ed Smith approach and say, well, no, it's take each series as it comes, and it's not the case that if Rashid is the one spinner in this series, that therefore means, even if he does well, that he keeps his place for the Ashes, but... I mean, it's a really tricky one, I think, because I think Rashid's a risk as a lone spinner, but Moeen's a risk as a lone spinner as well, because he has a much less good record when he's the only spinner than he does when he's got someone else in support. He doesn't like the focus of being England's only option. But it'd be hard to leave him out after his recent form. And anyway, maybe like Leach might be my pick, but that sort of seems a risk as well, because he's not played as the only spinner in England team, and it seems after what Moeen did at the back end of the series against India and in Sri Lanka, to sort of leave him out for Leach does seem unfair as well. It is tricky. I guess these are better problems for England to have than they've had recently. But yeah, you're keeping Folks, are you? That was going to be one of my questions.
Yeah, I think so. I think you have to.
Another man who scored 100 in Sri Lanka.
Yeah, and I think maybe if there was a slightly different situation at the top of the order, and that there was more certainty and kind of more options, you might on balance, Bairstow is an outstanding batsman, and so and has proved himself with the gloves, so you might on balance put him back in there. But I don't know. I like Folks. I like what he showed in Sri Lanka. So yeah, I'd like to see him stick around.
Yeah, me too. I think if Bairstow's going to bat at three, I don't think you can give him the gloves. So if you say, well, let's leave out Folks and give Bairstow back the gloves, then he has to bat at seven again, and then you're back to square one. Mm. So I think you keep Folks. I think he really improves the team. I mean, he obviously scored that 100 in Sri Lanka and some other really good innings as well. He just looked excellent with the bat. But arguably more importantly, with the gloves, he was just superb, wasn't he? He just added an extra few percent with some brilliant catches, brilliant stumpings. And just the way he kind of lifts the team as well, lifts the fielders. It felt like England's fielding generally was better than it has been. And I think that is partly because of Folks. So yeah, I do think he really improves the team. So yeah, I don't know. It's a tricky one. I think I'd probably end up going with Moeen as the only spinner and then Curran, Broad and Anderson. But there's a lot of possible answers to this question, and it'll be interesting to see what they end up doing. I would go Curran, Broad and Anderson, but I don't know. Do you think Broad a guaranteed pick anymore? He's taken some wickets in the warm-up games, including a hat-trick in the first warm-up. I mean, I'm not sure, looking at how those warm-up games played out, I don't know how much instruction we can take from them. But then I guess, probably better to take a hat-trick than to not take a hat-trick. But yeah, I mean, obviously Broad missed out in Sri Lanka, at least in the first two games. The two live test matches, came back in for the dead rubber. And that was the first time he'd been dropped in a long time. I mean, presumably he is going to come back in now, but do you think this could be quite a big series for Broad? Didn't have the best year of his career in 2018, obviously getting on a little bit. And for the first time in a very long time, there might actually be some people knocking on the door for his place. Firstly, if England want to play two spinners ever and they want to keep best at three, then one of the seamers will have to miss out. Won't be Anderson, would it be Curran? But even if you solve that problem, or you don't play, you just play one spinner, you can't get Curran and Wokes in the same team if Broad plays. and Wokes obviously had a good summer last year and scored runs and everything as well. So, you know, there is a bit of pressure on Broad's place now, potentially. Is he still a guaranteed pick for you?
I'm not sure. No, I don't think he is a guaranteed pick now. And certainly the Anderson-Broad duo, yeah, it's not the certainty it was 2, 5, 8 years ago, however long, whenever they came to the fore together. But no, I think he has to play. I think he has to start this series, and I think you have to look at him at least starting the Ashes, and you know he has to play that series. I think just based on what he's done to Australia, you know, particularly in England in recent tours. So yeah. I don't think he's a guaranteed pick, but I think he's still in the box seat.
Mm.
But you're right though. There are other names, you know, coming into the fore, and certainly. Curran and Wokes are great options, or you know, whichever they go with. And I think Curran looks such a tidy player all round. He's too much of an asset to leave out at the moment.
Yeah, he's kind of made himself undroppable. That arguably, that it is now the case that Broad would be more likely to miss out than Curran, which is an interesting development in the last 6 to 14 months. Another name would be Ollie Stone, I guess. He's now injured and he's going to miss out on this tour. But that would have been interesting. If he had stayed fit for this tour, would have been interesting to see. You know, potentially he could have been putting Broad under some pressure, because he does offer pace, doesn't he? Which is not something that there's a lot of in the England team. And it's something that has been a problem for England, not least in Australia last year. So, yeah, it just feels like there's a few kind of names around now in a way that there wasn't. Well, there wasn't.
No, it's a shame that we're not going to see Stone in this series. It would have been nice to get a look at him. I keep mentioning the Ashes, but those options, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he figures towards the end of that. They've brought Mark Wood back in, haven't they, in place of him. And, you know, if he can stay fit, he's also a danger. So,
well, he also offers some pace.
Exactly. So, it's good. It's good that there are a few options around.
We've got some options on the table. We're not taking any options off the table. There's probably a Brexit joke in there somewhere, isn't there?
It's too early on a Sunday to leave that to Ma.
Yeah. Build your own Brexit joke out of what we've just said.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, so turning to West Indies, I think it would be easy to write them off. They've had a very tough time of it over the last few months, certainly losing heavily in India, losing heavily in Bangladesh. Actually, in that second and final test in Bangladesh, they lost by an innings. It was Bangladesh's record victory. So yeah, they're not in the greatest of recent form. And of course, this is a longer standing thing. It's not like they've just had a bad few months. They've had a bad couple of decades, arguably, but certainly a bad few years. They haven't won a series against someone other than Zimbabwe or Bangladesh since New Zealand toured the Caribbean in 2012. So it's getting on for 7 years since their last kind of notable series win. But as I say, they do have a reasonable record at home against England. And they do also win more test matches now than perhaps they did a few years ago. So it does seem like in a lot of these series that they do end up losing, they do at least win one match. Not every time, but relatively often, and not least the memorable victory against England in Leeds in 2017, which I'm sure you remember, Tom, was an absolutely cracking game. So this side does have some experience, at least, of winning matches. But what do you think, Tony? Are you writing them off? It sounds like you might be writing them off.
I don't think they're going to win the series, I'll put it that way. You want them to be better.
I do want them to be better, yeah.
And there are some super talented players in there and impressive character. You know, obviously like Jason Holder leading the way. Had a great year last year. Some of the batsmen, have produced at times, but it's just that consistency, isn't it? And well, yeah, Craig Brathwaite is the sort of the in terms of record, the pick of the batsman, but and there are other players. Hetmeyer has produced good performances, good innings in recent times. Darren Bravo's come back, hasn't he? He's been brought into the mix. Obviously, his experience and ability, you know, is a real boost. So potentially, you've got the makings of a decent little batting lineup there. Again, you know, there's just get the background of sort of, you know, political nonsense off the field.
Internecine strife.
Yeah, strong. You know, I know for that Bangladesh tour, Nick Pothas was the interim coach. He used to be a coach in Guernsey, but he's now sort of moved away from the setup. There's another interim coach in, and that's caused a massive fuss, hasn't it? And you know, people getting het up.
Richard Pybus is the coach.
Yeah, and that's not gone down well with everyone. But then again, you know, the flip side, the fact that they've brought Darren Bravo back into the fold suggests that there's maybe, you know, some progress off the field there.
Yeah, and that feels like quite a big step, actually. I mean, who knows? You know, it's not like Darren Bravo's one of the absolute best batsmen in the world, but he does add some quality, which is a little bit lacking. He's a name, isn't he?
And
one of the reasons he's a name is because he, you know, he played that match-winning innings to beat England in Barbados in 2015. So, you know, he has some good memories of playing against England at home. And yeah, it does just feel like they're a little bit short of, you know, just one or two, well, arguably 11, but at the very least one or two kind of world-class players would make a difference to this team. And Bravo's maybe not quite at that level, but he's not far off. So that does feel like a big step. And as you say, Craig Brathwaite is a top opening batsman. Shai Hope, of course, the hero in Headingley in 2017, although he hasn't scored another 100 since then, but, you know, has clearly got the talent. But aside from that, there is a fragility about the batting, isn't there? And you do worry a bit for the likes of Kyron Powell and Roston Chase and these sorts of guys if the pitchers are favourable and the England bowlers get after them a bit. I suppose in the bowling, there's probably a little bit more quality. They've certainly got some pace, assuming that they play the pacey bowlers in Kamal Roach and Shannon Gabriel. It's quite uncertain what the 11's going to look like at this point, but they do have some quality. And as you say, Jason Holder, so he missed the tour of Bangladesh, but he's meant to be back for this. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how affected he has been, because it was quite a significant injury that he had. But yeah, you mentioned, Tony, he had an outstanding year last year. I will admit that this stat rather passed me by at the time, but he had such a good year. He took 4 5 wicket hauls in a row, including 5 for 56 in Hyderabad, which is a pretty remarkable effort for an overseas fast bowler. And he finished 2018 with a bowling average of 11.87, which is the best for any fast bowler in a calendar year for 100 years. Actually, the best for any bowler, fast bowler or spinner, for 50 years. I mean, that's pretty extraordinary, isn't it? And quite surprising, because you wouldn't necessarily have picked Jason Holder to be the one to break that record. But then maybe, you know, maybe something's finally clicking for him a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you look at the tests they played. Well, they went to Zimbabwe and New Zealand, and then they hosted Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, and then went to India and Bangladesh. So there are some favourable fixtures there, but clearly he's got something about him. Mm. So, and, you know, the leadership didn't he thrust upon him at a pretty young age. But now kind of coming into a sort of, you know, peak and, you know, probably, you know, dealing with everything that goes around it. Yeah, it could be a real weapon this series.
So after all that then, Tone, what's your assessment? I'm going to try and pin you down now for a prediction. I'm not going to let you wriggle out of it. What's going to happen in this series?
I don't know. I'll go
2-0. I'm glad we've got you here.
No, I'm going 2-0 England.
I've got 2-1 England. I'm going for the West Indies to win a test. I'm not sure where it'll be, but I reckon they could win a test. Obviously, they won in Barbados last time. You know, if they do catch England on the hop a bit, England haven't exactly had outstanding preparation. These warm-up games do seem to have been a bit of a kind of hit and giggle thing. Like looking at the scorecard, it's like, you know, the West Indies cricket board 11 are 207 for 16 or something.
Yeah,
it doesn't feel like a proper game of cricket. So they've not had a lot of top quality preparation. You know, if West Indies do catch them a little bit cold, win in Barbados, it, you know, that would set up the series quite interestingly. But that does seem like quite a big if. But I think they do have it in them to win a test. And I'm not sure that England are the finished article by any means. I do think, impressive as it was, that Sri Lanka result is slightly misleading. I'm not sure they're quite as good as that suggests. Yes, they've answered some of the questions. There are more players knocking on the door. There are more reasons to be optimistic as an England fan, but I don't think they're all the way there yet. And you know, they've definitely still got a batting collapse in them, haven't they?
Yeah, for sure. Although, you know, looking back on 2018, the quality of that batting lineup, whilst there might still be a collapse in there, you know, that's going to scare most sides at the moment. If Joe Root can get things together, and you know, the hint, obviously he finished the series well in Sri Lanka, yeah, if he can get it together this year, the way Butler's been playing with Stokes and you know, and an informed Bairstow,
Curran,
who's, you know, good for 60 every time he goes in. It's early days, isn't it? It's early days, but there's a real promise there.
Yeah, we shall see. I think it could be. I still think it could. It does have the potential to be an entertaining series. Whether it's going to be a really close series is maybe a bit more doubtful. But I don't think England should be complacent, because it is still, you know, it's still a challenge to beat West Indies in the Caribbean. And as I say, they, in 2009 and 2015, they came in this sort of frame of mind and didn't win. So it's nothing to say that that won't happen again. I'm trying to build up the excitement a little bit here, Tone.
Well, we'll hopefully be delivering you some insights from on the ground, won't we? Behind the scenes, if that's the right word.
Well, hang on, behind the scenes of what? Not behind the scenes in the dressing room.
No, behind our scenes.
Yeah, behind the scenes in our villa.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going, aren't we? We're going to the Caribbean. Actually, have you seen the Sky Sports advert? I'm pointing at the TV. Have you seen the trailer for the...
I haven't yet, no.
For this series on Sky Sports? Just playing on that thing that we always talk about of, you know, being sat in a dark, cold room watching something that just looks amazing and green and hot. Shots of snowy England, and it says winter, and then it says but not here, and it's the beaches in the Caribbean. And I did have like a momentary kind of sinking feeling where I was like, oh, and I went, oh wait, we are actually going this time.
That's good news. It is good news.
Yeah, we're going out to St Lucia for the third test
and then picking up a couple of ODIs as well, so it's a full tour. Hopefully we don't just see a dead rubber and then two washouts in the ODIs. But.
So yeah, we're going to be throwing a lot of World Cricket shows at you while we're out there. We're doing daily shows in St Lucia, right? That's what I'm assuming. I don't think I've actually checked that with you. Just kind of daily roundups of each day's play.
Yeah, I don't see any reason why not. I'm sure we'll do it in the car on the way back or whatever.
Yeah, or with a rum punch by the pool. Sounds all right, doesn't it?
It'll do.
We have been planning this for a long time. I think you first mentioned this to me, like we looked at the Future Tours program. You first mentioned this to me about 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago. Said 2019, lock it in.
It's good that it's come off.
Well, yeah, 'cause not often. Normally things like this end up being pipe dreams. Yeah. What's described as pipe dreams, but we actually saw it through this time.
Actually, it got organized.
London correspondent Gordon McRae is coming out with us as well. We went in 2004, didn't we? Talk about that 2004 series. That Hoggard hat trick. We saw that Hoggard hat trick in Barbados in 2004. So yeah, this is a kind of we're desperately trying to recreate our glory days.
Yeah, clinging on.
But yeah, exciting.
Yeah, just be cuddling a beer for the next best part of 3 weeks. It's perfect. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, your anti-indulgence program is going to come under some pressure.
Well, it's going to be coming to an abrupt end. That's for sure.
Might not be as much turkey-shaped obstacles, but other things.
Rotis, rum, beer.
You were complaining that there isn't a roti emoji.
It does make planning these sort of things quite tricky.
Much like Monty Panesar on Mastermind, this episode of the World Cricket Show has been absolutely extraordinary. It's probably about time to bring it to an end. Did you see this, Tone? Monty Panesar on Mastermind?
I did see it going around, yeah. It was you sort of couldn't take your eyes off it, but it was slightly heartbreaking at the same time. It's a tough watch.
Yeah, he's tasked with a general knowledge round and struggles. He does get the first question right. He gets off to such a strong start. And I think that may have made him a little bit overconfident. Anyway.
I think what's so brilliant about it, and you know, I certainly would possibly struggle. And if you don't get the right questions, you know, you could come unstuck. But it's just the fact that some of the answers he gives just aren't, they wouldn't qualify, they're not in the right, you know, it's not the right thing. It's like...
it's just completely the wrong category.
Yeah. It's like giving like a city as an answer to like which author wrote.
That's it. It's not, because in a way I feel a bit mean laughing about it, but it's not that he's wrong, because he gets all the answers wrong apart from that first one. But it's not like I didn't know all the answers to that. It's not kind of like laughing at him for not knowing the answers. It's the fact that it's so off the wall. Like, it just I don't understand what he's thinking. Like, one of the questions is,
what is the title of the first volume of C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia to be published chronologically? It follows the magician's nephew.
C.J. Lewis.
The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe.
I do kind of love the idea that C.S. Lewis might have written a book called C.J. Lewis. Baffling. Absolutely baffling.
It's impressive.
But so I do feel a bit bad for him. And also, apparently, this has not gone viral, but he had a specialist subject round as well about Sikhism, and apparently did quite well on that. So yeah, it's not to kind of belittle him or, be mean, but it's so bizarre that it is hilarious.
I'm sure he is embracing it and, owning the story and enjoying it.
I hope so. Well, anyway, that's the end of the show. A bit of a shorter one this week because we've both got lots going on. I've got a whole Sunday ahead of me. That's one of the advantages, I guess, of doing it this early on a Sunday morning. You've got a whole day to do with what you want. In my case, it'll probably be go back to bed because I got up too early. But anyway, yeah, that's it. But don't despair, because there will be lots of World Cricket shows coming up over the next month or so as we produce daily podcasts in St. Lucia Tone. Daily, yeah?
Okay, yeah. That'll be good. Well, and they won't be as early in the morning, and they'll probably be more food and drink fueled. Yeah. So should be in good spirits.
Roti and rum punch.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll be back pretty soon. But between now and then, if you enjoy the World Cricket Show, get involved on social media. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. I'm sure you can find us there. You can send us an email as well if you fancy that, worldcricketshow@gmail.com. And if you want to support the show, there's a couple of ways you can do that. You can either do it with your cash at patreon.com/cricketshow. We hugely appreciate everything that people pledge there. And the other way is just to leave us a rating and a review on iTunes or your podcast provider of choice, which is a brilliant way of helping to bring new people to the show and raise our profile, get us up the old charts, and help us to grow the podcast. Is that how you describe it, Tim?
I think that's how
is that what it says in our business plan?
Yeah, it's a thorough business plan. Maybe we can work on that on the plane over.
Yeah, on the back of a napkin.
Yeah.
Right. Well, all that's left for me to say is stay in school. Thanks for having me around, Tone. Do you think this worked in the kitchen?
Yeah, I think it's good. Yeah, we'll maybe schedule it later next time.
I hope so. Well, I hope you appreciated my commitment in getting here this early. When you factor in my commute as well, scary to think how early I had to get up.
Remarkable dedication. What time did your alarm go off?
7:45.
Wow.
Because I had to have my cereal as well. I got to have my bowl, my cereal, before I...
My bowl?
Came down here.
Got to have my bowl.
It's a lyric from that Rebecca Black song.
It's actually. Of course it is.
Got to have my bowl, got to have cereal.
Extraordinary. Extraordinary.
So you think that I only know the name of that Rebecca Black song, but no, I listen to it 3 or 4 times a day.
Incredible.
That meme from 2010.
Gotta get a hit of bowl. Gotta get my bowl hit.
Sitting in the front seat, no, that's it. Kicking in the back seat. No?
No, that's it. I've got to go.
You don't want to join in this Rebecca Black sing-along?
I think that's a good place to leave it.
All right, well, yeah, you've got a dash. All right, cheers, Tane. See you soon. Bye for now. I can smell your fear. Ba-da-da-ba-ba, ba-da-da-ba-ba. Ba-da-da-ba-ba, ba-da-da-ba-ba. Ba-da-da-ba-ba, ba-da-da-ba-ba. Ba-da-da-ba-ba, ba-da-da-ba-ba.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.